Blog Talk Radio.
Rhyme ruler, the mind of the master, the prime poet designed for disaster, a crime candidate, the light heavyweight, I might levitate right through the heaven's gate, rhyme record, break neck spines and vertebrae, step up and plane like Kanye, I heard him say, it's murder one when he murder tracks, I'm a dirt bag, flirting with songbirds and Birkin bags, my first rap, catch Roberta Flack, I'm a certified Mac, but I'm sure you ain't heard of that. Slim Thug and them hoes, they been loving the flow. They been hunting for men like in Vogue. And I'm in season, the season vet. I don't need respect. All I need is a check. Might check.
That was an ordeal. I'm not quite sure what the heck happened there. I'm going to see if this is working now. Brandon, is that you?
Yes, I'm here.
There we go. Goodness gracious. Blog Talk Radio is going to get a very stern email from me. Very stern. Sorry about that. This is trying to record our podcast again, take two here. Welcome to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am one of your hosts, Joe Mullinax, joined by Brandon Connor. We had everything set up, and then the internet or the website, whatever it might be, decided to not work. Brandon, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Just glad we got all the technical difficulties ironed out.
Yes, I am glad as well. I'm not quite sure what happened there, but anyway, we're back in the saddle. It would appear we'll see how it goes moving forward, and we'll jump right into it since we're a little bit behind now because of the technological difficulties. And I'll bring on our guest this evening is Mr. Jack Noonan. He is associate editor of GrizzlyBearBlues.com, as is Brandon Connor. These are two guys who earned this opportunity. They're contributors to the site. They do a tremendous job, paid contributors, which in the world of blogging, if you're not as familiar with that, that's an opportunity that not many folks get. So, it's well-deserved, and happy to have Brandon, obviously, as my co-host and all-around good guy over at the blog. But for his first appearance, Mr. Jack Noonan. Jack, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How are y'all today?
I'm doing okay. I'm going to try to figure out how to get this link back out there. I mean, worst case scenario, most folks listen to the podcast archive version anyway, so we can just record and then hopefully folks will listen, afterwards. But anyway, like I said, let's jump right into it because of our issues with the technical difficulties and talk about Tyreek Evans. He's kind of going to be the focus of our podcast this week. And Jack, you did a great job over at GrizzlyBearBlues.com writing an article about Tyreek titled Tyreek Evans is Saving Himself. And the premise behind it is that Tyreek Evans is not a stat sheet stuffer, at least not for Memphis this season, which is the reputation he's gotten in the past of being a good player on a bad team, trying to build his numbers. You're saying that he is not that for the Memphis Grizzlies. For those who haven't read the article yet, first off, you should, as soon as possible, over at GrizzlyBearBlues.com. But secondly, Jack, if you would just give a brief synopsis as to your theory that Tyreek Evans, yeah, he's put numbers in the past, but this time it's different in Memphis.
Yeah, so the premise of the article, I heard from Bill Simmons' podcast, him and Kevin O'Connor are kind of going through the teams, and kind of one thing that they noticed from each team, and then Kevin O'Connor brought up Tyreek Evans, and quickly, Bill Simmons shot it down, said stat pattern, bad team, good stats kind of guy. And then I was kind of thinking, looking in the numbers a little bit more, and that's just not true. And one is because he's been playing on bad teams his whole career, which is unfortunate for him, but he hasn't had the numbers if you take out his maybe rookie year when he was, he won rookie of the year back in 2009, I believe. But other than that, this is his best year of his career. And numbers across the board, and more importantly, the two things I kind of laid out in the article were his 3-point shooting percentage and also his vision off the drive. And the vision is more of an eye test, but you can see in his 3-point shooting that he's shooting a career best from 3-point range and averaging 1.8 more attempts than any other year of his career. And so it's just a dribble drive that's just a different feel this year, I feel like, and that has just changed his game to be probably one of the biggest targets for contenders looking to make trades that we'll get into a bit later. But I think he's a perfect bench scorer on a contender. So, Pretty much what the article laid out.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because the question of the day, we tweet it out every time we do a podcast here. And again, thanks to everybody who's I just tweeted out our link to our take two link of your listening live on this Thursday night as we record. The GB Live question of the day was to vote in the poll and be heard on the show tonight. And Brandon, I'll get your take on this here first. The question was, what should the Memphis Grizzlies do with Tyreke Evans? Because I think Jack's article is pretty solid. Tyreke is taking advantage of the opportunity he has with Memphis. He's kind of taken Mike Conley's injury and run with it. He has become the best player on the Grizzlies. He is their MVP halfway through the season. But, of course, the issue is he signed on the biannual exception. He's on a one-year deal. There's no way that Memphis is going to be able to keep him. Probably not even for the MLE, the mid-level exception, which would be roughly $8 or $9 million. He's probably going to command more than that on the open market. So you look at Evans. What is his worth in a trade, and can Memphis even afford to keep him? The question was, again, what should Memphis do with Evans? The options were trade him, keep, and let him leave. So the idea of not trading him at all, just have him stay the whole season and then have him walk for nothing, essentially. And the third option was, do whatever it takes to keep him. And what I meant by that was stretch provisioning Chandler Parsons, trading JaMychal Green, those types of things, okay? Trade him, one with a whopping 69% of the vote. Nice. A nice vote tabulation there for the poll this week. And then you have do what it takes to keep him coming in at 29%. So 40% less than the winner. So a vast majority of Grizzlies fans think that they need to trade him, which I expected, but I did not think that there would be roughly 30% of folks that would be willing to go through the pain in the butt process of stretch provisioning Chandler Parsons, essentially punting that contract, which maybe they should do or shouldn't do. That's, you know, most people have opinions on that, that vary. But you know, between that or trading JaMychal Green, who they just signed, there are various things they'd have to do just to keep Tyreke and get under the salary cap, because they don't have bird rights to him. So they'd have to move several players. I'm just surprised that he has had that kind of an impact in the minds of Grizzlies fans, Brandon.
Well, I mean, people love him, and the fact that he played at Memphis, people are gonna tend to favor that. And the fact that 69% of the poll, the people responding to the poll even said trade him, I'm actually surprised it was that high. And I think Twitter may not be a representative sample of the overall fan base. I think if you put that poll onto Facebook, you might have gotten a different result. But I think, I mean, that trading him's the obvious answer, just because of if you try to bring him back, if you try to make those moves that you're doing, that you're going to deplete depth, you're going to, you know, push your salary cap problems are going to, you're just going to end up delaying them even further, pushing that farther into the future. And so the moves that you'd have to make to keep them just aren't really worth it in the long run. And so really Memphis, I mean, they kind of knew what they were getting into. They took a gamble on a guy who's had a little bit of injury problems, who might still have those issues. And so the only thing really to do is to try to get value out of them. Now, the real question is going to be, like, that's the most obvious answer, but is the front office going to be willing to do that? And then you have to get into, you know, the ownership comes into the picture. You don't know who's going to own the team, within how that's going to shake out with the buy sell provision. You've got, you know, Chris Wallace, who seems to publicly at least says that the team is still trying to win now. And so if they really believe that, if a couple of games go right and then Conley comes back sooner rather than later, you're gonna have, you know, guys in the front office who are probably trying to save their jobs, trying to, you know, think more short term than long term. And so we kind of know what the only value that Tyreke has right now is as a trade piece, in spite of the fact of what he's provided with, you know, with Conley out, and the fact that he's really been the only sort of consistent creator that they have. But the question is whether or not the front office will make that decision and make the right decision in terms of long-term, like the long-term results, instead of thinking short-term.
And again, it comes down to that long-term idea because, again, as we sit here today, the Memphis Grizzlies are 7.5 games out of the eighth and final playoff spot in the Western Conference. They are closer to the number one overall seed in, or number one overall pick, I should say, in the draft than they are the eighth seed. It continues to be that thing that we've talked about in the past. They're in denial, I think, or they're not in denial. Maybe they can't be that, you know, oblivious and incompetent. They're putting up the public face of we're still competing for the playoffs when they're 8.5 games out or 8 games out or whatever, away from 8 games in the loss column, away from the 8 seed, yet they are 1 game away in the loss column from the Atlanta Hawks and the number one overall pick as of the start of games tonight. So it comes down to being your true self. And Jack, I'll get your take on this. I'm guessing you're in support of the trade Tyreek idea, but why do you think the front office still tries to put on this facade of saying that this team can still make the playoffs? It would take a miracle almost at this point for them just to get to 500. I mean, they would have to go what? They're 12-26 sitting here as of this recording. To get to 41 wins, they'd have to win 29 games out of 40 some left. I just don't see that happening. This team has not played, even though, and McCarty Maxwell did a good job writing about this this week at GBB as well. Even though they have played better as of late, they can't do it. You know, I hate to say that as a guy who's a big fan of the Believe Memphis idea. You don't want to not have belief, but at some point you just have to use rational thought, right, Jack?
No, absolutely. And that's what we always see, that the classic tweet that you just kind of said, that they have to win X of X to get back to 500. And that number just keeps getting more and more lopsided every passing game. And so it just goes back, and kind of Brandon was talking about it. It was just the front office is, this could be maybe a hotter take, but I don't think the front office has faith in the fan base to appreciate a rebuild. And it's kind of interesting because you see teams across the league just completely go with the tank idea and call it a tank, and the 76ers and everything. That's an idea they almost embraced as a city. Memphis hasn't really seen that, any type of something like that, in a while, or a long, long time, probably 10, 15 years, if not more. And so I don't know if the front office is okay with letting the fans think they're tanking because of the perception from the fans, because that was just going to clear house. And it honestly will, because – Chris Wallace obviously has had some questionable decisions in his tenure with the Grizzlies. And so I just don't know what they're kind of, like you were saying, what their message is to the fan base. And I do think this fan base would respond. And it's a very knowledgeable, passionate fan base in Memphis. And it's a fan base that will appreciate a tank if that's the direction they go for and not freak out. Because another thing I kind of said in my, or maybe one of the recaps or something, the Memphis would love to have a young, fun talent to root for and build the whole city around, because it is an incredibly passionate fan base. Small but passionate. So that's what I would say with all that.
Absolutely. And then just, I think one other thing that they're trying to avoid with the idea of saying that they're tanking or not really admitting publicly, I think part of that is trying to play a little bit toward Mark Gasol, because I don't necessarily know that Mark would take not being competitive or purposely not being competitive. I don't think he'd necessarily react well to that. And so
it's very true.
You know, we've talked about Tyreek and how the right move is to trade him. Jack, what do you think if Memphis is to trade Tyreek, are there any teams that you have in mind who could really use his skill set? Like there's a lot of teams that could use him, but what teams specifically do you think would make a good trade partner for Memphis in terms of, you know, needing sort of a secondary ball handler, a bench scorer, and a facilitator? And who do you think would have the sort of assets that Memphis would require to work, to make a trade work?
Yeah. So for the Evans part of the piece of that, I probably would say it's going to be a contender trading for, like I was kind of saying at the top of the podcast, they need a bench scorer, a dominant bench scorer, ball first guy. And that's going to go for a contender's first round pick if they own, or if they're able to trade it. I kind of went through a couple of the teams, and there's not many, that, honestly, that could, because we saw in the last few years Cleveland trading for Kyle Korver and then Houston trading for Lou Williams. And both those were for their first-round pick and ended up being, you know, 26 to 30 because they're contending for the championship. And that's really where I see that Evans, if it's solely Evans and not Gasol combined, we can get into that in a little bit later. But I see Evans just being traded for a first round. And if the contracts don't work, maybe a young guy, a young kind of end of the bench guy from the contender. One trade I saw that would be very interesting that wasn't really for a pick would be with Denver. I think they're at the sixth seed in the West right now, and they're kind of just hovering where they kind of always hover. But Tyreek would come in and be a ball first guy that could either have some ball handling duties, because Jamal Murray is a little up and down. But if and Evans has a connection with Mike Malone back in Sacramento, he was his head coach. They have all their first round picks, so they could trade any of them if they just wanted to do that. Or if the Grizzlies could get maybe a Juan Hernan Gomez, or, and this could be a stretch, but it would match nicely, a Malik Beasley from Florida State. He was their 19th pick, the Nuggets' 19th pick in 2016. But that wouldn't probably come with a trade. So that's one that kind of saw, and I thought that could be a good compromise, because Beasley's behind a couple of guys on their depth chart, and same with Juan Hernan Gomez, who has a lot of potential to be a good big man in the league.
Joe, is there anyone that you've sort of looked at in the same vein as a good trade partner for Memphis, or a kind of a deal that you've talked yourself into?
Well, I reached out to the other site managers of Grizzly Bear, of SB Nation NBA, our league site group, and asked if, because I personally think they should trade Tyreek, I asked if anybody had any possible valuable desire to try to get a Marc Gasol or a Tyreek Evans. Those are probably the two guys whose names will float out there the most. There were a couple that offered for James Ennis. I think it was the Wizards blog Bullets Forever that had a James Ennis trade deal. And that was not a bad deal. I thought that was okay. But the one that I think is probably most realistic came from Celtics blog. And it was one that it was the Celtics first round pick this year, which of course will probably be in the mid 20s, and a young prospect for Tyreek. And, you know, people got frustrated by that. And there were some people, especially, it was fascinating. There were Boston people who thought that was a terrible trade, which, I mean, you already have so many other pieces that you can use and so many other assets. I'm not quite sure why you wouldn't just own it and say, yeah, we can give up our pick. It's not like we're asking for the Grizzlies pick back or anything like that. I'm sure Boston wouldn't do that at this stage. But to me, that should be a real goal for what you can get Tyreek Evans, because a contending team isn't likely to be able to afford Tyreek Evans either. So you're putting yourself in a spot where you're essentially getting a rental. Now, is he a piece that can put you over the top? Maybe. If you need that bench scorer, if you're somebody like Denver, I think Denver, Jack mentioned, is an interesting target team, because Tyreek Evans could help Denver pick off the San Antonio Spurs or the Minnesota Timberwolves, one of those teams that might be in the 3-6-4-5 matchup this year in the first round. You know, Houston and Golden appear to be on a collision course for the Western Conference Finals. San Antonio is always going to be in the mix until I see otherwise. But it's interesting to kind of think about a team like a Philadelphia or like a Denver. Tyreek Evans could be a piece that puts you over the top, not in terms of winning a championship, but in terms of progressing your process, to borrow a phrase from the Sixers. He could make you a team that maybe gets you an extra win in the playoffs, and it makes you more competitive and gives you a better shot to advance. And, you know, that used to be where the Grizzlies were, and now it's where teams like Denver and Philly are. You know, you've been losing for a while. You haven't been in the playoffs for a good bit. Now it's your opportunity to make a little bit of a run, and you might as well try to make the most of it. So I could see a team like Philadelphia, Denver, the Boston one, like I said, made sense. Those teams that are kind of on the cusp of making a run to eventually get beat by the Warriors or Rockets or Cavaliers or Celtics, you know, but that doesn't make their pursuit of winning a playoff series any less valuable, especially for a team like Philadelphia that has been bad for so long, I'm sure they're hungry for even a little bit of playoff success would be huge for that fan base and for that organization.
Oh, absolutely. Jack, do you know if Oklahoma City has their first round pick, or was that included in one of their deals this summer?
They can't trade the 2018 or 2020. I forget what deal it was, but they can't trade their 2018 or 2020. So I guess it's a 2019 deal they did. Forget for who.
Okay.
It might be in the Paul George trade.
Okay.
They send one.
All right. I was thinking they could have used them, and I kind of talked to myself into like maybe the Jazz could kind of use another ball handler, but I kind of discussed this with Hardlicka a few weeks ago that the Jazz could use somebody with this skill set, but their sort of culture is bringing their young guys along and letting them play, and bringing Tyreek in as a rental would kind of go against their culture. So that was another one that I had kind of discussed with someone else as well.
I had one that kind of with Gasol in it, I was kind of interested to hear your y'all's opinion about this. With Washington, if it was Gasol and Evans for Gortat for a salary match, Brandon's Kelly Oubre, I know you like him, Jody Meeks,
yeah,
and Zadaransky, they're well, not that young, but Thomas and Zadaransky, and they're all into all those Wizard players on a 2-year deal, and one of their first round picks, maybe they don't have any restriction on their first round picks. But what would you think about that if the Grizzlies kind of went full rebuild?
As an Oubre fan, I really like that deal. I don't know if I had to say who would say no on that deal, I would probably say Washington. I know a lot of their fans are pretty high on Oubre as well, so I don't know if their front office feels about him, but I actually like that deal.
Yeah, he's on a super cheap deal, so that's what I was kind of hard to match those contracts, but he's a talent for sure for them.
Oh, he's great.
Kelly Oubre is fantastic, and I think that that's a guy that if Washington could get him for a Tyreek Evans, that you certainly do that, because whether it's that first-round pick from Boston like we talked about, or one of those young talents of Malik Beasley, Kelly Oubre, that's what you're going to get. You're not going to pry. This isn't NBA 2K. You're not going to offer Tyreek Evans and a second-round pick to the Cavaliers, and they're going to give up the Brooklyn pick and Seti Osman or something like that. Like, this isn't going to work. You have to be realistic about it. And I think the fact he's a rental, like I said, there's going to be some teams that have enough assets where they can swallow giving up a mid-round pick, or they can swallow giving up a young player because they've got 5 or 6 other ones on the roster. You're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I'm one of your hosts, Joe Mullinax, the site manager over at grizzlybearblues.com. I'm joined by my co-host, Brandon Connor. Follow him on Twitter if you don't already do so, at Ball From Grace. Also joined by Jack Noonan, Mr. Jay Noonan himself, associate editor over at GBB, just like Brandon. Follow him at JNoonan1307. Some good news on our show, not just talking about doom and gloom and trading away your best player, at least to this point. Mike Conley, gentlemen, apparently will be returning soon. I think there were some rumblings that he might be set to come back for the Wizards game, but Grizzlies PR has come out and said he is out for that contest. Point being, it sounds like he, in the next week or so, will be back in the fold for the Memphis Grizzlies. Memphis has a bit of a lighter part of their schedule here. They only have 2 games in the next week. So it's theoretical that, you know, after the Pelicans game coming up, I believe it's Wednesday, the next time they play after Friday night's game against the Wizards. So a little bit of a break for the team, which they probably need. After that game, maybe after the Pelicans game, we see Mike Conley come back. So they play 2 more games and then Conley returns. Jack, I'll start with you on this. What word comes to mind when you hear this? It's kind of a word association game here. So you hear Mike Conley, dun da da da, Captain, you know, Captain Clutch, the conductor, all the nicknames that we've come up with him for him. Arguably, again, Mark Gasol is in the conversation as well, the best player on the Memphis Grizzlies when he's healthy. He hadn't really been healthy all year, struggled to start the season. Achilles issues or heel issues always make you nervous, especially with a player like Conley. So what word comes to mind when you hear that Mike Conley is approaching a return?
Caution. If you want to go with more than one word, proceed with caution. That's the biggest thing for the whole coaching staff to have him on is a minute restriction and just slowly, slowly make sure he's healthy and try not to further his injury anymore, because that is the worst case scenario. Even if you are in this limbo period of the franchise, it's just the team has to have him healthy for any chance down the road. And that's the word I would go with. Absolutely.
Caution, good one. What about you, Brandon?
I was going to say nervous because I'd seen, and this may have just been situational, but Nate Duncan kind of mentioned that when he saw Conley warming up pregame when they were out in Oakland for the Warriors game, it didn't look like he was wasn't really going full speed or anything. Conley's a guy who has a history of coming back a little early and trying to push himself. And you know, I appreciate the toughness, but it just worries me that, you know, if he comes back too soon, if he's trying too hard, like that's an injury that you can make worse. And if you're pushing it a little too early, then like what happens if it flares back up again, then you're out, you know, another month, another 2 months, and then the season's pretty much lost. So I agree with Jack that you've got to be cautious about this. You got to make sure that everything feels 100%. And Mike, as much as I appreciate the effort and wanting to get back to the team, and you know it's killing him to just be sitting on the sideline while the team's losing like this. And I appreciate that, but you know, you got to think in the long-term interest, because you still got at least 2 years on this left on his max contract, and like you got to think more long-term, because we've seen what can happen with older point guards and Achilles injuries.
Yeah, and that could be a disaster, and you don't want that for a guy who you've invested so much in. And you know, hindsight's 20/20 here, guys. And whether it's the Parsons deal, which has been beat like five dead horses, or it is the issues with Marc Gasol and coaches now with Conley, you know, people like Matt Hardlicka, formerly of GBB, he runs a great Patreon, I guess is how you say it. He runs a great self blog now. I suggest you subscribe to it if you don't already. Just look up Matt Hardlicka's Twitter at @TheRealHardlicka. But anyway, he has mentioned, you know, being concerned about the Parsons deal. You know, he's been very smart and kind of ahead of the curve on that stuff a little bit. But at the same time, you know, there's aspects to every decision that Memphis has made with regard to their investment in Parsons, Gasol, and Conley. They had to do it. They had to invest in Mike Conley because the other options weren't good. And same thing with Marc Gasol. And they had to go swing for the fences and try for Chandler Parsons, who remains the best free agent signing the Grizzlies have ever had. Now, obviously, he hasn't lived up to that billing. But at the time, given his body of work when Parsons was signed, he was that. He was a top 10 available free agent in the entire NBA, and he signed with Memphis. Now, again, hindsight, did you overpay, injury concerns, all that is valid, but you can't go back and subscribe to revisionist history. So you have to look at these signings and say, you're in it now. You have to handle it the best way possible. Chandler Parsons has missed the past two or three games with knee soreness. He's out again for the Wizards game. You have to handle him with care, because if he blows out a knee again, he might be done. And now you really, really hurt yourself in terms of a guy who's played well when he's been able to play this season, not getting the most out of what he is now. Conley might be approaching that level, and you have to be careful with him. And I agree with you guys. And Jack, this makes me nervous, the idea of him forcing it. The Grizzlies are a bad basketball team right now. Conley comes back, maybe he makes them a below-average basketball team, but what is that going to do? That is just going to make their draft pick that much worse. So you're not going to be able to tell Mike Conley to not play. Same thing with Marc Gasol. But I do think that you have to really try to sell him on, and hopefully he buys into, the idea that there's nothing to rush back for. There's nothing to run back to. Take your time, get healthy, try to turn this thing around to the point where you can get a top-five draft pick, draft somebody who you can build with in a post-Conley and Gasol era, and it'd be cool to see that type of young franchise futuristic piece playing alongside Gasol and Conley as they head out of their primes. And a top five guy from the 2018 draft for the Grizzlies starts to build towards his. That'd be neat to see, Jack. And other people have said that too. So, I mean, how do you get a guy like Mike Conley to buy into that vision? Do you even sell it that way? Like, what do you say to him to try to get him to slow down when, like you guys said, he's a competitor who thinks he can make the team better?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's such a tough, like, just mental decision for the players themselves to have to make, just think about the long-term future of the team, even because this is their livelihood. I mean, yes, they make millions, but they love the game. They're the most passionate people about the game of basketball. And you can't just say, hey, play like 50% in this game. Don't really try. When it gets in the fourth quarter, you can have a good game, but then, like, slide off a bit. That just doesn't make sense, and it's hard to sell someone on that, like you were saying. And just like Gasol as well, these two guys are starting to go on the back half of their career, and it's hard when they don't have many more years left to sell them on this idea. It'll be interesting how Bickerstaff, as someone who has, in the past not wanted a head coaching job full-time, how much he'll take into the consideration of long-term success or franchise success. Because if he's not around, does it matter? Is he just going to fall back in his role? It's and the relationship between all of them. There's so many questions on this Grizzlies team that make it, honestly, for a fan's nightmare because it's so hard to follow each way they go. And so when Conley does come back, he'll, of course, improve the team. He's better than Andrew Harrison and Mario Chalmers. But will he improve it too much to where the draft pick slips? And unfortunately, that's a very, very Grizzlies thing. Franchise Grizzlies thing to happen, as unfortunate as it is.
But for me, that's where the conversation comes full circle. And Brandon, I'll bring you back in on this. If Mike Conley comes back, a good way to negate Conley's return is trading Tyreek Evans, because now you've essentially negated the loss of Tyreek with the return of Conley. Conley and Gasol playing alongside Andrew Harrison, Dylan Brooks, and Jermichael Green as starters, and with the bench the way that it's been, that's essentially going to give you the same results. So I guess my biggest concern is Mike Conley comes back, and maybe this is what the front office is doing. Maybe they're saying, okay, Conley comes back in the next week or two. We give him a week or two to get his feet back under him, try to get up his minutes, and then once we hit the trade deadline, boom, we can get rid of Tyreek Evans, try to get maximum value for him, and get a couple of assets for a guy who's not in the long-term plans. Maybe that's what's happening here. And that's kind of what I've bought into and what I've sold myself on, at least, is they want to make sure that Conley is okay. Because if Conley's not okay, I don't know that they want to be in a place where it's just Mark and it's Marc Gasol against the world, essentially, and you're starting, you know, Ben McLemore or you're starting Mario Chalmers. And that could get real ugly really fast, especially for a guy like Gasol, who's not going to want his minutes limited too much. He's not going to want to sat down or shut down for some bogus injury. So that's kind of what I've talked myself into, Brandon, is the idea that they're saying, let's let Mike get back. Let's let him get his feet under him. Then we can start exploring the market for Tyreek.
I really hope you're right. When it comes to, like, doing the best long-term thing, I just, like, right now I'm just very, very wary of trusting this front office. You know, if they really wanted to tank, the best thing would be to play Ben McLemore as many minutes as possible. Just because
Jarrell Martin. Because
if you play it, like, McLemore's been, and I think a little of this, I don't know how much, because Fizdale kind of won. I think the idea was to turn him basically into a more athletic Troy Daniels, who would, you know, be able to defend at least semi-competently, occasionally get you some explosive plays, and then would be able to, like, he's still good on catch and shoot threes. And I think that was the idea. And Fizdale was, like, the fact that Fizdale was able to, he got more, a little bit more than expected out of Troy Daniels. I think that they kind of thought that Fizdale could do that with McLemore. And then when he got injured in the off season, that sort of shot down any sort of development coaching time that they would have had. And so that, I think maybe if there's a possibility, a non-zero chance, if he was healthy all off season, then maybe he's not the disaster that he's been. Sorry, I just went off on a Ben in Macklemore tangent. But yeah, it's just,
he is the worst.
I like to hope that that this thinking long term like that. I just don't know. And I feel like we don't really know what Conley's doing right now. Just kind of hoping that he's going to be back soon and that things are progressing, even though there's still been no, like, I guess no official update. Are they supposed to, have they given a date or anything yet?
The last I checked, it was that they're hoping for a mid-January return. That's the last I heard.
Okay.
So there were rumblings and rumors that, like I said, there's a thought that maybe it could be the Wizards game on Friday, but they've shot that down. It looks like another week or so.
Okay. Jeez. Because I remember originally, like, the word was Christmas, but like you said, I think we're really just – it's all guesswork right now, and we just kind of have to hope that whatever the best long-term course is, that the front office makes a decision and is able to stick with it. So – I guess that's where I am right now, is just wishing and hoping.
Yeah, wishing and hoping. And you're doing it in the way that we're not accustomed to. Well, in terms of beyond, you know, again, we're not holding up growl towels at front office meetings. You know, you're used to doing that on the basketball court or at a stadium. Fun thing before we get into the last part of our podcast here, the Grizzlies have improved in offensive rating. They're 24th out of 30 teams in the NBA. Defensive rating, as of this recording, they're 21st out of 30 in the NBA. There was a time where they were 27th, 28th, 29th in those numbers in terms of it, of the offensive and defensive ratings. So they are improving, which, again, depending on what your goal is for the rest of the season, is not necessarily a good thing. We're finishing up here on Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I'm one of your hosts, Joe Mullinax. Brandon Connor is the other host. We're joined by Jack Noonan. Both Brandon and Jack are associate editors over at grizzlybearblues.com. Another fun number from Basketball Reference here. The expected win-loss, usually Memphis is outperforming it, as in they're doing better than the numbers say they should be. But this year they're doing worse, shockingly. According to Basketball Reference, they should be 14-24, not 12-26. So they are two games better than the record indicates, according to Basketball Reference, which feels kind of funny to say, because from watching the season so far, it doesn't feel that way.
It's a little thing.
Exactly. we will preview the week ahead. As I mentioned earlier in the show, not exactly the busiest of times for the Memphis Grizzlies. They play Friday night against the Wizards at home, and then they play the Pelicans the next Wednesday or the Wednesday after. So they have 4 days off, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, heading into a Wednesday game. Part of the reason they extended the season in terms of starting it a week or two earlier was for this purpose, to have a little bit more breaks in there for the teams. And this is one of those times for the Grizzlies. And then I'll start with you. What is the likelihood that Memphis wins either of these games? Again, there's times where they look better, and then there's times they look god awful. And the Clippers game really kind of seemed like a moment where they might start going downhill, and this might be the end any hope that anybody maybe still had of this team trying to turn things around this season, as we're about halfway through the schedule. So two games this week, Brandon, I'll start with you. What are the odds that Memphis can pick off the Wizards or the Pelicans?
I think if I remember correctly, both these games are at home, right?
I believe that's correct. Yes.
Okay. So you've got that going for you. Memphis tends to, I know they lost earlier in the season, but it seems like, from what I remember, Memphis tends to play decently against Washington. I think it's an Eastern Conference team, and a decent Eastern Conference team that, has beaten some better teams this season. But you never really know what you're going to get out of them. I know, Joe, you're kind of you're in Washington or in that area, so you're probably more plugged in. But it seems like the Wizards are kind of like the Grizzlies in that they'll win some really tough games, like against tougher competition. They play up to their competition, and then also they'll have some just confounding losses. So you're kind of hoping that you get the Washington that doesn't show up for that one. And against the Pelicans, you don't really know who's going to be healthy. I saw Boogie left at one point in their last game, but they tend to give Mark Gasol fits, especially even like in the best, even when he's playing his best. Last year, Boogie in the game against New Orleans, Boogie basically ate Mark alive. And so, both of these teams are beatable for the Grizzlies, but it's just, you don't know what version of each team you're going to get, and you don't know what version of the Grizzlies you're going to get. So I'd like to think that with it being home, with you having a lot of time off, that they could at the very least split in terms of an actual winning. But there's a way that they could beat both of these teams, and there's a way that they could end up 0-2. So I'd say if I had to guess on an outcome, I'd go they probably end up 1-1. Jack, what are your thoughts on that? How do you see this next week playing out?
Yeah, I think they're both interesting games for the Grizzlies, and luckily they will be at home after that long, long West Coast road trip they just came back from. But yeah, like we saw, like the last time they lost in Washington, I think that was mid-December, but it was John Wall's return, and it was at their place. It was kind of a more pumped up crowd than normal having Wall come back, but it was the career game for Andrew Harrison, as he had 20 points in that game. So, and with Conley not playing, I don't know if the team, I mean, Gasol didn't play well either, that well either, but I don't know how they'll do against that one. And kind of like Joe was saying earlier, they have been shooting lights out from three over the last three games. They're actually second in the league, shooting 48.1% from three. So that's a nice little tidbit from that Golden State game that they just had lights on throughout the game. Unfortunately, it came against the Warriors, a team that you can't pull out victories that way. But they're the confidence, and that's the best thing to see from this team. And that's really what the fan base we should be looking for is how everyone – like the individual players look. It might be a loss on the scoreboard, but if we can get some of these young guys like the Kobe Simmons, young, and then even Dante Davis is putting up weirdly good minutes this past like month. And so that's, I mean, all signs, you got to take, like I said earlier, the little things. Against the Pelicans, that was a season opener. Jermichael went down the first maybe 30 seconds of that game. Will be interesting to see how Mark and Jermichael Green do against Boogie and Anthony Davis. It's obviously one of the tougher matchups, but they also score, I think they're fourth in the league in points per game, so it might be another high-scoring game. The only way you can really can beat them is stopping their backcourt and their front court with, you know, Drew Holiday and Etuan Moore, and they're not really the guys that are really going to beat you. So it'll be – I like the split, since you said that. I like the split of games. I can see them losing to Washington and pulling one out against the Pelicans. It's a team that they know well, the division and all that. So I feel like a split's a good prediction. But even if it's not a split and they lose both of them, what the main focus of all this should be is in the young guys and their development throughout these games.
Bickerstaff, to his credit, whether it's Kobe Simmons, Deontay Davis, Jarrell Martin, these young players, they're getting a look at what they can do, and I think that's important. I think the Wizards are going to beat the Grizzlies. The Wizards are five in their last six games. The Wizards have won five of them, and two of those wins came against the Boston Celtics and the Houston Rockets, two of the best teams in the NBA. So the Wizards are playing pretty well right now. I'd be surprised if the Wizards dropped a game to the Grizzlies. It's possible, but the Wizards should be favored in that one. And it's the same thing with the Pelicans. You know, Boogie Cousins is just better than Mark at this point. And I think Anthony Davis and Boogie are going to dominate Gasol and Jermichael. And Tyreek might still be able to get his a little bit, but it's just at the point where you look at the schedule coming up and none of these games, or very few of these games, are games that Memphis is going to be favored in. And that's just something that continues, at least for me, as a person who's been following the team for, you know, 7 years now, going back to the start of the grit and grind era. You know, I wasn't around for those earlier bad teams. You know, I'm one of those fans that came around because of Zach Randolph and Tony Allen when I moved to Memphis in 2010, 2011. And, you know, people like me catch grief on Twitter from time to time, not being a fan who was there for the pyramid days. But the fact of the matter is, it's taking some getting used to understand that the Grizzlies are just not that good, and it was going to happen. And logically, I saw it happening at some point. It just finally has occurred, and now it's kind of demoralizing to see a team like the Wizards, who the Grizzlies 2 or 3 years ago would certainly have been favored against, especially at home, coming to the Grindhouse. It's just kind of a state or a statement to the state of things in Memphis for these Grizzlies. But things are going pretty well over at grizzlybearblues.com, and part of the reason for that is Jack Noonan, our associate editor. Jack, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast this week. We'll obviously have you back on down the road.
Sounds great. I appreciate it.
There he goes, Jack Noonan. Make sure you're following him on Twitter if you don't already do so. He's a great follow, great contributor to Grizzly Bear Blues. Follow him at jnoonan1307. We're finishing up here on Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax, one of them. The other one, Brandon Connor, joining me as always. The next time we will be on the Blog Talk Radio airwaves is January 11th, same time, hopefully without the technical difficulties this time. And between now and then, as we mentioned, the Grizzlies play two games. Brandon, Jack kind of mentioned it earlier. I'm curious as to your take. Wins and losses aside, what are you most interested in seeing from these Grizzlies the next two games?
I mean, really, the only thing that you can look for in a time like this is look at the young guys and hope that they develop. I think the Brandon Wright injury was actually turned out to be beneficial for the Grizzlies. I don't want to say good. You never want to see a guy go down but and miss time. But I think after Summer League, and I've talked about this on Twitter a lot, but after Summer League, I was genuinely worried about Deontay Davis because it looked like he had sort of stagnated or maybe even taken a step back. And so the fact that Brandon Wright like went down and you were able to bring Deontay in, and he's had bad games. I think the last game he had like 5 fouls in his time in the game against the Clippers. He had like 5 fouls in 9 minutes or 19 minutes or however long he played. He picked up, he almost fouled out. He had like no points or anything. And so I think he's looked more like the player that we saw last year. And so that's been encouraging. I mean, obviously you like what you've seen out of Dylan Brooks. Kobe Simmons has flashed a little bit for you. Andrew Harrison, after Fizdale left or was fired, he's gotten more consistent playing time, and he's been able to look more like the player that you saw at the end of the year last year, and it's kind of sort of taken that step up into being like at least a dependable, more dependable rotation player. We still haven't seen much of Ivan Rabb, but I think just you're kind of hoping that you get to see a little bit more of your young guys and able to get them minutes and develop them. And so that's really all you can hope for right now.
Emphasis on the young guys, trying to figure out what the heck you're going to be moving forward. That's got to be the key. And this next month is going to be interesting to see what direction they plan to go in, whether it's just moving on from Tyreek because of the contract limitations, whether it's a full blow up, which they've said time and again isn't going to happen. But anything should be on the table at this point, given the current state of things with the Memphis Grizzlies. Thank you so much, Brandon and Jack, our guests this evening, for joining me as always. Thanks to you for listening. Make sure you're following us on Twitter if you don't already do so, at GBB Live. Make sure that you're subscribing on iTunes, and obviously continue to make grizzlybearblues.com an essential part of your Memphis Grizzlies fan experience. Again, we will be back on January 11th. Until then, ladies and gentlemen, thank you again so much for listening. I am Joe Mullinax, the site manager of grizzlybearblues.com. Grind forth, Grizz Nation. This has been Grizzly Bear Blues Live. Yeah.